And the Chinese economy is slowing down, a slowdown that has led to recent volatility in global stock markets. And economists and investors are closely watching trends in consumer spending in China. For instance, last week, we witnessed Singles Day, a relatively new online shopping extravaganza in China similar to our Black Friday. China's e-commerce giant Alibaba says it saw record sales of $14.3 billion in one day. Venture capitalist firm GGV was happy to see that. They were one of the early investors in Alibaba. And Jenny Lee is a managing partner there. She is the only woman to have cracked Forbes' top 10 Midas list of tech investors. She's based in China, but she joins us from Silicon Valley for this week's View from the Top conversation. Jenny Lee, welcome to Here and Now.
Hi, Jeremy. It's good to be here.
Well, it's great to have you while you're here in the U.S., but we know that you are normally based in China. So I want to start by asking you, what should we know about the economy there? Are you worried that China could fall into recession?
So I've been in China 15 years. In the last 15 years, I've seen China go through three big cycles of ups and downs, from the Asia financial crisis to the global financial crisis in 2010. And then recently, in the last 2 to 3 months, where the media is hearing a lot about the China domestic market. So volatility is a given in China. And so the ability to sit through some of the changes, it's actually very important in China. So it's expect volatility, expect changes.
But you don't think that there's going to be about to be some economic catastrophe?
No, I think that on the consumer growth, definitely we are going to see a slowdown in general. But the slowdown in growth is actually being replaced by a lot of the new innovation, the new internet, what we call the new economy companies that's coming up. So commerce is moving online. So the online economy is stronger than ever, especially with that 600-700 million of smart mobile phone users in China. So it's a little bit of a two cities, right? Where one, it's about the old economy definitely seeing a slowdown, and then the new economy, which is accelerating in growth.
And what should we know about the Chinese consumer, which is becoming a much more important part of the global economy as they start to consume more? They're certainly going to start to consume more American goods as well. Do they behave like American consumers? I remember being in a high-end mall in Shanghai, and I noticed that all of the Chinese consumers who were in the mall, none of them, almost none of them, had bought anything. They're just walking around. I wonder, do they behave in a different way?
Yeah, so the phenomena you observe, it's a very interesting one. So imported goods, especially luxury goods in China, get showcased in all these posh and high-end branded shops, but they are marked up because of the import luxury tax by another 17 to 20%, plus additional markup depending on the location of the malls. So many of the Chinese consumers would shop, identify the items they like, and then the way they buy it when they are traveling overseas, you see a lot of Chinese consumers when they are traveling on vacation where they end up buying a lot more of those products. Hmm. Or they get their friends. They saw this nice Gucci bag and they're not going to go check it out at the store. And then subsequently, they may get a friend who's traveling overseas to buy it for them. So they are consuming, but the way that they are doing it is a little bit different given this import luxury tax.
They're looking for a good deal.
Absolutely. They want the best, but they want a good deal as well.
What is it like to invest in China right now? This is something that you do, but whenever we hear about investing in China, there are always cautionary tales about people who say, oh, this company, you know, looked great, but it turned out that they had cooked their books. None of the stuff that they were saying was true. Do you face that? Have you ever invested in something that turned out to be just a hoax?
So China investment, it's tough, right? I've been in China for 15 years. And so while China holds a lot of great promise in terms of new innovation, the large growing market, China is not for everyone. And so as part of what we do on the investment front, you have to be overly cautious, right? So we do spend a lot of time with management team, not just with the CEO, but, you know, down different levels to the middle level. We spend time sometimes with their families to ensure that this guy is credible. If the business involves manufacturing, warehousing, then it's actually very prudent to go down and count the number of warehouses, count the number of products that they have. So you have to put on the extra lens great opportunity, but obviously it's you got to take the right precaution and steps. China is still a growing economy, and so for every great entrepreneur, for every 8 or 9 great entrepreneur out there, you're going to have 1 or 2 entrepreneur who's going to try and take the shortcut. And so, we have to take the right precautions.
And have you ever gotten in trouble with one of those situations?
So fortunately, no. I do all my work well. And you see me weekends, looking at the warehouse. I spend time with the family. I think that a lot of times the quality, integrity of an entrepreneur, it's extremely telling, not in the way they run the business, not just in the way they plan their roadmap or their business plan, but in how they treat their family.
Well, I understand that when you started investing in Chinese companies back in 2001, you had to bring suitcases of cash to China. So quite a different situation.
So when I first started up GGV in China, it's a very interesting situation, right? So as you're starting a startup, you have to have a business license to set up a company. Until you get a business license, you cannot have a bank account. And so you're basically going on cash. That's what I did to allow me to find a, office for the company as well as hire our first employees. So it's really very grassroots.
Is it still difficult to invest in China, especially if you're an outsider? You're living in Shanghai, but if you were a foreign resident trying to invest in China, would it still be that difficult?
Yes. So I think it is hard to invest in China, I think, for different reasons. So today, if you look at the China venture capital market, which is what I do, it's only 15 years old. So there are people like us who've been on the ground in the market for 15 years. We are a phone call away from Alibaba, a phone call away from Baidu, some of the companies that we have extremely good relationship with or companies we invested in. So as a new investor who have not invested the time to build the network, who knows how to navigate some of what I mentioned earlier about taking extra precautions around due diligence, then China is a tough market.
What trends are you watching right now? Where are you putting your money in China at the moment?
Very exciting. So it's all about mobile. In the last 5 years, China has grown from 10, 20 million in mobile smartphone users to today, 6 to 700 million. 75% of all cell phones are made in China. And by the way, all 80% of solar panels are also made in China. So China, having kind of gone through that manufacturing trend and wave, has refined a lot of their precision manufacturing and supply chain. And so today, when we think about Internet of Things, smart devices, smart connected devices, smart home, smart car, a lot of that product, the supply chain actually has to work with China. And so this is an area where we are seeing huge convergence in technology, both in the China front as well as the US front. And so it's an area that I spend a lot of time looking at, an area I'm very excited about. I think this is an area where we're now starting to see disruptive changes, entrepreneurs who are out to change the world.
You were an early investor in the fantasy sports league site DraftKings, which has been in the news a lot lately. The New York Attorney General just declared it a platform for illegal gambling and demanded that they stop operations immediately. What do you think? Is this the end for those sites, or do you wish you hadn't invested in it, or do you think they'll get through it? What are you expecting?
Yeah, so as a VC who's an investor in disruptive and innovative trend, regulatory licenses, application, new company, new business model, trying to disrupt existing ecosystem and dynamics, that's not new to us. So we've been doing for 15 years. When online video first came online, especially in China, it was highly unlicensed and unregulated, as the Chinese government looked at the space and said, oh, what's going to happen, right? Is this going to replace my TV media broadcast? And you have to understand, in China, this is also a very sensitive topic. But over time, has the companies and has the startup grow, they continue to work with the regulators to understand the changes or regulations or governance that they need to put in place. And then the industry slowly became a licensed industry, and so a legitimate industry. And I cite that example because we, as VCs, will face a lot of this interesting challenges or changes or requests to regulation. And I think for us, we're very excited. It just shows that it is a good market. The key then is, you know, working with the management team to ensure that the business can grow in the right manner.
So you think DraftKings and FanDuel, for that matter, will survive?
You know, I'm a believer of understanding the consumption need from the point of a consumer. So as long as there is a need from the consumer, as long as there is a value proposition from the consumer, then I do believe, as an optimist, I do believe that there are ways to get around this.
That's Jenny Lee, managing partner with GGV Capital, operating out of Silicon Valley, Beijing, and Shanghai. Thank you so much. Fascinating to talk to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.